Hey everybody, welcome to Nexus at Night, your weekly Vanguard podcast, brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/nexusatnight. Spoiler alert, one of them's here. I'm Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Rupier.
And I'm Jeremy.
And Jeremy, one of our $10 patrons, is our guest today. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks also to the other patrons, Darren, Cole, and Josh. So we have a variety of topics we're covering today. But first, I wanted to do the... Finally, we have reveals that aren't Shaman King.
I know, right? It feels like it's been 5 years.
We're not even getting the Shaman King set, are we?
Probably not. Okay. Who owns the rights for it in America?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
I don't know. If we were a better podcast or had an actual editor, we would have a guy being like typing away trying to find the the right thing. So it looks like, what is it? Oh, there it is. A new card of the day. All right. So let's start with the oldest one and go to the newest one. So first off, we have Libmi. It's a gray one, high beast from Cater Sanctuary, 5k power. Auto, when this card is discarded from your hand during your turn, you may pay the cost of Soul Blast 1. If you do, call this card to a rearguard circle in the back row, rested. And then also, continuous on rearguard circle, if it's stood, it gets intercept and can intercept from the back row. This tiger is not king.
No.
I would not play. I would hope to not play this card.
Yeah, same.
That sure is a common.
Yep, sure is.
Why would you want it stood? What's the point?
For extra shield, except that you're not boosting, so you could just not play it.
Yeah,
but you get to like discard it, I guess, and then call it rested, and you get shield the next turn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a common.
I guess you could. Oh no, not even. I was going to say, if there was some way to do it in Shadow Paladin, so you get like just an extra warm body. You can...
I mean, there's just better things, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about this, Jeremy?
Yeah, I don't really see it being run in any of the current Cater decks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool art, though.
Yeah. So many good arts wasted on commons that don't see a play.
Yeah. That's a tragedy, for sure. All right, how about this next one? Knight of Flash, Ecclesia. Anybody got that?
The Yu-Gi-Oh card?
Wait, what's the Yu-Gi-Oh card?
Dogmatica Ecclesia, and then there's the new Ecclesia for the Sword Soul deck, right?
I think so. I know about the Dogmatica one. I completely
forgot. The new set, Burst of Destiny, has another Ecclesia.
Yeah, but the grade 2 that says when it attacks, if the other unit in the same column is grade 3 or higher, gets grade plus 1 and power plus 5,000 until end of turn.
Okay.
See, this is like almost good if it was like a grade 3 all the time.
I guess the idea is that you can intercept with it when it's not your turn.
Yeah.
Or something.
No, like being a grade 2 that becomes a grade 3 would be helpful for Bastion for like early game purposes. But like you can't drive check it as a grade 3. And like it's not a grade 3 until it attacks. So there are a lot of things before that require grade 3s that this does not help with.
Yeah, if it were drove check as a grade 3, or if you could reveal it from hand as a grade 3, it would be probably somewhat useful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Having any amount of shield value in your rear guards would be nice.
Yes.
I saw a meme somewhere where it's the guy with his nose in a book, and it's like when you're a Bastion player and pretend you're gonna guard, but it's a handful of threes. Or something like something dumb like that.
And apparently Japan is playing the grade 3 that gets drive checks.
Yeah, I saw a list WCC posted.
Oh, that wacky one where it's like rest shit to get drive. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's four of him and then four of the triple R from set 2.
Interesting.
The one that restands if you persona it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Although I think the argument is people just don't want to play set 1 Bastion for 4 sets.
That sounds right.
So it's like they're trying to fix what isn't broken. They're just really bored, which is fair.
Yeah. Bastion is a very boring deck.
What if like that's what all the tech billionaires are doing? It's like we know that the Apple UI was good and we're fixing what isn't broken, not because we need to up our stock price. We're just bored, man. It's boring to look at. I could understand that more if they weren't just like, we're changing the future. Stop it, okay? You don't need to move the save icon. I knew where it was, you know?
They do what they must because they can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to keep you on your toes.
Right. Also, why we invent like $700 juice presses.
I don't know. I'm not a juice press guy, but I could definitely see myself owning one of those SodaStream.
A SodaStream has like some sort of function. I was specifically referencing the Juicero, which was a $700 piece of plastic that just squeezed a juice packet that was like already pre-made.
Oh. I thought it was like a thing where you were like, oh, it's just a blender. You could have just bought a blender.
People buy this stuff?
No, they didn't. That's why the Juicero company no longer exists. Fair enough. People quickly figured out that you could also just like squeeze the bag with your hands and have juice.
That's so funny.
Oh my god. All right. Desire Devil Kenan and Kel.
I'm gonna go Kenan.
Kenan. All right.
Like the League of Legends champion.
Sure. So grade two, when it's placed on rear during your main phase, counterblast one, look at the top part of your deck and call it to rear, and at the end of the turn, retire that called unit.
Okay.
So
it's like free. And it works in like everything.
You're just gonna eat it, so it won't actually be there to retire easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can like technically use this as all the other decks too.
Oh, I kinda wanna try this in Pillman, just give you like call Paraton, in... Soul Charge, call top card, suck them both in with whatever stride you're doing. Or
it also works with like Borrow Magnus if Borrow Magnus had counterblast to spare.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Selfish Engraver is like the only thing they have, right?
Yep.
You could run it in Bruce if I can't think of his name, the grade two from set three, if he wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
But, he just kind of does that way better for Bruce.
Oh, true. Fugly Face? Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah. All right. Matt, you want to read a Desire Devil Babetsu?
Yeah, so this is the card I'm arguing on Twitter about. Desire Devil Babetsu. It's grade one, rearguard, AK, of course. Has an auto on rearguard circle once per turn. When your other rearguard is put into soul by your vanguard's ability during your turn, counterblast one, choose a card from your hand, call it to an open rear, and if your soul has 10 or more cards, draw a card. So the argument I'm having is a Pale Moon expert, this is important.
Is it 14 like, attack guy?
No. Damn it. Is surprised that like if you put this into soul and three other units, like you still get its effect. Mm-hmm. Even though if you've played, I think, any other card game in your life, this would be like, yeah, of course.
Isn't there reminder text, too?
Yeah, it literally says on there, like, this may be used even if it's put into your soul at the same time.
But this is, like, a pretty basic interaction in most games. Like, just like, oh, this sees the other things leave the field, so it activates this effect.
Yep. Like, that's how that's always worked.
But
I like it.
Oh, it's good. No, this card's great, for sure.
Yeah.
Like
you're not arguing over whether it's good or not. You're arguing
I think this Umbreon thing is pretty good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you had at least three of them, you could stand greed on twice, attack three times.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, that's a lot of counterblast though.
But that's if you're going for the win.
Mm-hmm. Counterblast don't matter if they're dead.
True. Just call a full board, no problem. Build your own dogma.
That's a triple R. What's his name? Kenan was a double R. Those are pretty good for double and triple R.
It definitely feels like a triple R, and it feels like worthy of being a triple R.
Mm-hmm.
Did they announce if Flagberg's getting the reveals for next week?
I think next week was arms cards for the Blaze Maiden deck.
Oh, like the set arms cards instead of the TV ones?
Yep.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, I guess we missed a couple of those, but... long story short, it's counterblast two to get two arms from drop and put them into your hand. Whatever, it's fine.
Unplayable.
Unplayable, and then the other one was just like a generic 5k increase on a grade two. Whatever.
They were commons.
Yeah. So, revealed literally as we started this episode, We have Aurora Battle Princess, Taser Large. Love that name. Auto on front row rear. Once per turn, when your opponent's rear guard is placed other than from hand, rest that unit.
I hate this card.
What All are right. you thinking?
It's certainly funny.
Yeah. Arguably better than Turquoise?
Arguably.
What was the rarity? I can't bring up a picture.
It's yet. A rare.
It's a rare.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Would you have... Because Turquoise is active all the time. This is just once per turn.
Yes.
That's true.
So, but Turquoise just minuses 5k. This, you know, right. incapacitates it for the turn.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Bruce or something. But even then, that's one less attack to deal with.
So if your opponent calls two things from prison here, I guess you just pick which one that you...
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's like a auto, you know, once per turn. But that being said, if they, you know, choose their order carefully, there's no, like, you may rest that unit. It's just the first thing that gets...
Wait. So when you counterblast one to unprison things...
Yeah.
You choose like one than the other, or do you just choose two at the same time?
You choose two and then call them.
Okay, so the person with this card would get to choose which one to rest then.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I talked myself out of it. Never mind.
Yeah. I was just wondering where you were going. I was like, hold on.
No.
I'm trying to understand.
Took me a second. Sorry. No. Yeah.
This also has utility of stunning decks that call. That superior call.
Yeah.
Like in general.
Like Virena.
Virena, Magnolia with.
Wait. Virena calls from hand, right?
Virena.
Yes.
Yeah. It's from hand.
Calling Trickstar from drop. That
Yeah, but Trickstar can't be chosen.
Does it say choose, though?
No, it does not choose.
That's true.
It just says when it's placed, that unit rests. Yeah. Like, whatever it is.
So,
was that in the rulings that when you overdress, it needs to be in the same like state as the?
Yeah. So.
Okay.
So it does do something there because the tricks are from drop, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But prison already wins the overdress matchup, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it just makes it worse.
Yep.
Yeah. On the plus side, it's also like I can't afford Turquoise. Here's a backup option. Yeah.
Typically, you're not looking to make your good matchups better. Mm-hmm. You're looking to cover... Well, sometimes that can be effective if people are playing that deck, but...
Well, this has different utility from Turquoise since it can cover more things.
Mm-hmm. Turquoise makes that sweet 23k column.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. It's the same with Rouge.
Yeah.
Part of the reason you run her.
Are you ever cutting Rouge, though?
You'll probably decrease her some, but she's never completely going away.
Hmm. Card's good.
Yeah, they'd have to come up with a really good tripled replacer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Card's just huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this other order.
Yeah. It's a Soul Blast 2. Imprison all of your opponent's rear guards in the back row.
Okay. So, we talked about it during the set review, Lemon Party, whatever you want to call it, is that grade 3. On attack, counterblast 1, soul blast 3, pick 3 of your opponent's rear guards, and then imprison them, and then if they have 5 or more in prison, she gets a crit.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Or she gets 10k, and then if after they have 5 or more in prison, she gets
a crit. I have a request.
Yeah.
Can you Don't never call it
Lemon? Yeah. Okay. I only need to do that once. But what I'm saying is that Lemon does that job better. She mm-hmm. has legs, and she gets a crit, and she gets power for it.
Yeah. And Soul Blast 2 is like a decent amount.
Mm-hmm. And Lemon is Soul Blast 3, sure. But again, all the other benefits that I was pointing to.
Mm-hmm.
I think the deck just gets
this
more.
Seems to be just do what the deck already does more, which mm-hmm. I don't think it needs.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah.
That's a common.
Remember what I was lacking in this?
What, lacking in imprisonment?
Well, I guess it was lacking in, like, consistent imprisonment, right?
Right, right.
Like, back at, like, set one.
Yeah, well, it's just gotten better. I know there's a promo that, like, imprisons from top of the opponent's deck or something. Yeah.
It's in the same group as NPix.
What's NPix?
Those were the only... Oh, the Fox for Magnolia, Sylvanhorn Beast NPix, which I'll probably talk about later.
Yeah.
But it was with those... I think there were 10 promos, but those are the only two that I think stuck out.
Damn. Because, like... So...
At least the only ones that saw play.
Okay. I mean, because, like, so the thing with the bind from, imprison from top of deck gal is that you have that order that imprisons from the opponent's hand, and they largely do the same job, which is if they don't have a board, you can get it from somewhere else. And in the case of, top of deck gal, our friend asked us, like, what do I do if it never comes out in English? I'm like, you have this other option. Now, with the Fox, is there another, like, backup to that? Or
no. Well, yeah. Urgula is your closest thing, and Urgula doesn't even come close.
Yeah. What was the full name again? Sylvan Horned Beast?
NPix. E-N-P-I-X.
NPix. Sounds like a production company. NPix. That's a back row. Gets plus 10k if you have 3 or less rear guards. All of your load already. Okay. Gets plus 10 if you have 3 or less rear guards. All of your rear guards in the same column. God, that's so good. Holy shit. Damn, dude. Want.
Yeah, I'll probably be talking about that a little bit later on. Spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really any other card of the day, so moving on then. So, being that you are a $10 patron, you get an episode to yourself with the topics being chosen. So, what did you want to talk about first?
I guess I just kind of wanted to introduce myself a little bit, just in terms of like my Vanguard history. I have a couple... I don't really think I'm that great of a player, but I do have a few regional tops under my belt, so I could like briefly go over those.
It's better than us.
So anyway, I started playing, I came from Yu-Gi-Oh! It was between set 7 and 8, the original. Someone handed me a fully built Great Nature deck, and like, here you go, let's play, including SP Binoculus, which I still have.
Wow.
The deck was awful. Especially like going against dope players and stuff like that. I ended up building dope myself and playing for a bit, but I kept Great Natures as my main throughout. Like, I had Leopold Reverse and
I think it was sweet.
Belly Shat Fox, which I'll talk about again a little bit later. Spoiler. So I'm in Canada, so the only regionals I can really get to is Toronto. But I've topped 3 times out of the maybe 10 or so that I've gone. Luckily, I tend to run 12 crit decks and sack, so that's probably a big factor.
Strong plan.
Yep. My first top was with Revengers. It was right after set 15, so with Glendios. I was running Mordred Raging Form, 12 crit. I lost in top 8 to a mirror, although the girl I was playing, she looked to be like 11 or 12. So that was, she was like the only younger person there. And she went top 4, top 2. I don't remember all of my matchups. I played two Revenger, because this was back in 2014-15. I played one of my friends, which out of like a 400 person tournament when there's only 12 of us going down was nice, but he was playing Golds with Alfred. And then I played my...
Oh, Liberator Alfred, right?
Yeah, Liberator, Monarch Sanctuary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about that. It was, I had to no guard at 4 damage and she got a crit. It happens.
Damn.
But yeah, it was still... It was still good. That was my first regionals too, so I was pretty psyched. My second top was actually with Shanwar Tester Fox.
Yay!
This was between Gene Strategy and Trinity Dragon.
Okay.
So I remember I had like the Armadillo G Guard, and I wasn't running Compass Lion. I didn't even think of Compass Lion until a friend of mine also playing Great Nature was playing it. And I'm just like, why am I not playing this? Because I think I had Binoculus in there just as my third grade two.
You know a card's good when they do the V series of it and it's just the same effect.
Yeah.
Like it's bigger perfect. Body. We don't have to do anything.
I love this card that read like a downside and it's just like the best card you could put in that slot.
It's like back in the day it was the only like 11k grade 2 where the downside was actually beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like Brutal Jack or something, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because Brutal Jack would get power when it attacked?
You had restraint. You had a counterblock for it to...
Oh no, I know that, but you said like the downside is good for it. Like
Yeah, the downside's just like actually huge for Great Nature.
Yeah. Because duck
downside.
Yeah. And Mikkei.
And Mikkei too. Mikkei is probably like just absolutely nuts with like I'll search for this grade 3 I need. Perfect.
I like how the first like clone of that was largely just untouched, and then Duckbill came out, and they're like, oh, tangible card advantage. Nice. Because TikTok Flamingo is just like, He's the guy who did it before his time, but just didn't do it right. And then someone came along and took that idea, and then Duckbill is like the Beatles of that kind of card. So, sorry, continue.
Oh, no worries. That regionals, I made it to top four. I think, I don't remember any of my matchups going up, except I went against, I felt bad for him too, because he was like a really good player in the region, and he was playing Time Leap, which is probably one of the best decks of that time. And
this is post-Hetero Round, right?
I don't remember. Hetero Round came out.
Gears of Fate was...
This was, I think it was before Gears of Fate.
Okay.
So Time Leap was good, but they hadn't really brought up the Zodiac Time Beast stuff yet.
No, not yet.
Okay.
But yeah, TikTok and Melon were still things. But yeah, he was great stuck for a turn, so that's how I got him.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, but he was on a team and did a little interview with me afterwards, so that was nice for his YouTube channel. I don't remember. I think my top eight was DI Reggie, and that was close. I think we went to game three because it was Bushi doing best of one and then best of three for top cut.
I'm pro best of three, but we did my locals with a best of three a few weeks ago, and it took so goddamn long.
Vanguard players are incapable of playing quickly.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, my locals is best of three, and we usually only do three or four rounds, and it's usually only us there, so we just go and get a coffee or something. Well, there's always those two players that are playing for like an hour, even though we do have time.
Angels usually. Players.
But yeah, I remember I lost to Novas in top four. My column with an attacking Tester Fox was 40k, and I think I needed 41 to get him.
Damn.
It was that close.
Yeah, it's real awkward doing the dope numbers on Great Nature. Because you need to do three on a 9k to hit 21. And
I used to have them all memorized.
Yeah.
How many jokes I had to hit magic numbers?
Yeah, I know that.
Remember when power numbers were like 11, 9, and 7?
Yeah.
No.
Nobody ever does. I know that trying to do Foivos in Aquaforce nowadays fucking sucks.
Like, so annoying.
Hitting for you have to put him on an Excel circle to hit on his own.
Yep, like, 11.
You got it.
Yeah.
At least you can still turn two somebody with it.
You can. Or if it's on the Valley of Stride turn, you can make it work. Or if it's what's his face? Flood Hazard, because he gives him 2K, so he's hitting 13 then.
Yeah.
But still awkward.
So my third experience was a team tournament, and there's a little bit of a funny story. I was playing, our team was Zodiac Time Beast, Victor, and I was playing Zanki, Shiranui Zanki. I went undefeated all day. I was laughing so hard at everybody playing either Chaos Messiah or Deleters, because it just, I had such a good matchup.
Renee is a cool, definitely not lame card.
No. Not at all. It's just like, oh, my whole board's locked? Renee don't care.
It's Renee's like the honey badger of Vanguard.
Jinx.
Messed up.
our team's Zodiac Timebeast players. Less of a competitive player. Like, he was doing really good with the deck, but he generally, like, plays decks that aren't as meta, just, like, decks he likes. But, like, his matchups were really close. Like, he got all the hard matchups, I think. Like, he got the Luards and the mirror matches and stuff like that. But we get to top eight, and our teammate playing Victor got disqualified for having the wrong card ID in one of his cards.
Oh, no. Damn.
And as we were playing, he played it out, and he would have won. He won the game out. Our Zodiac Time Beast, who hadn't been winning all day, won his. And me, who had been winning all day, lost to Dark Regular Shahar. So that was our top eight.
God damn.
That's rough. That's really rough.
That's awful.
But it was still nice that we made it that far. It's just one of the... Like, it's... kind of hard to afford going to nationals, especially when it's like going to the US and is already a big expense. So it's more just for the bragging rights.
It's also like all the way in California, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Root Beer and I are like, uh-huh, yeah, quite an odyssey.
Yeah.
You used to be one of us.
What? Not me.
But yeah, that's all I had about that. I didn't really get to many regionals after that. I think I did two in V, and they were both Murakumo. Mm-hmm. It was right after Zambaku came out from set two, sweet. And then right after Hyuga came out.
Hyuga was the deck.
Hyuga was great. I remember I lost my first game. I was grade stuck on one because I was running. Of course, you run such a low grade one and two count.
Yeah.
Just to get yourself there. But yeah, I had a lot of great matchups. I played Maelstrom, and I was just laughing at Glory. I'm just like, I can only guard with one card. Okay, I'll lower your board with Shiryuki. Have fun.
Oof. Rip.
I like the Zanbaku deck a lot. Yeah. I had a lot of, I think people like just completely misunderstood that deck for like its entire existence somehow. And people were like, just counterblast Soul Blast one, make it so they can't reride. What are they going to do?
That and free call, free power up. Mm-hmm. Even though it wasn't meta relevant, I liked playing around with the Center Arrester.
Just get Center Arrester's deal again?
He got 5k for every Arrester on board, not himself, and he could attack from the back row. The 5k was permanent, so you couldn't really attack into him unless you want it to. Blow a 30k column on him.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Yeah, the people kept thinking that you had to do like you wanted to do the whole counterblast 3 thing, and I was like, nah. Because like at the time, like OTT was really popular, mm-hmm. So you just make it so no reride, and what do?
No protect marker, no promise daughter.
Yep, there's nothing. They just do nothing.
I think I went. Back in that format, Spikes was a really, really uphill matchup, and I had two. I was paired against two.
Seafreed is really annoying.
Oh, Seafreed. Yeah. I was going to say, This is before Rising Nova.
Yeah, because
long before Rising Nova.
Yeah, they just keep punching you in the face with giant monsters.
Right. Giant football-themed monsters.
This was back when we only had the original set with the four, the Tachi Mega Colony Spikes, Aqua Force Deep Police and Grand Blue, and then we got the AL4, so the Shadows, Murakumo, Pale Moon, and DI.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Kumo was like the first like Excel deck to be like,
ooh. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they kept making Excel better.
Well, they combined Excel 2 with printing dumb Excel cards, right? Yeah. So then you got into that meta that was like Murakumo, Pale Moon, whatever else was going on there.
I think Mordred was okay in that meta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was another really good Excel deck that I'm forgetting.
You know what the best part is? Someone could just go back in our discography and just be like, we know exactly what they were thinking. Exactly what was going on at that particular time.
Yep.
I love when me. People... Why?
But I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, right. Yeah, because we don't go back and listen to ourselves.
One for what? Was it Gold Palette?
Gold Palette was a little bit later. Gold Palette was okay. The set with the idols.
Mm.
It was Corrin that ran Ezel.
Right.
I know that when someone asks, like, what did you think back then? I'm like, fucking go find out. I don't want to bother. Like, I already hate listening to my own voice because I'm going to edit this thing. Just, no.
This will be the only episode I don't listen to because I cannot stand the sound of my voice.
Oh, yeah. No, completely understandable.
I was going to say, my friends listening can tell me how it is.
Yeah. I think the only time it works listening to something you've been on is if it's a long enough time where you kind of forget what you said. But we record these the night before they come out. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for something like Generation Dan, which is my other show, we record it a month before. So by the time that comes out, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I was talking about. Cool. I'm a completely different person now. Let's see. So was that the end of your
yeah, topic? That was the end of Odyssey.
For people who run a podcast about this, we are
shockingly bad at this game.
We're shockingly terrible.
Whoa.
At this game.
Whoa. I've gotten to like last round several times.
Okay.
And then just knocked out by like, I don't know.
Although Atlas, you've been winning at your locals recently.
But it's always playing Tachikaze.
Because that matters, Rootbeer. Winning at my locals matters.
Look,
it's still winning.
All I'm saying is G Tachikaze was sweet.
Oh yeah. That was a fun time.
I played G Tachi.
It was so good. And the Ancient Dragon like engine in there was so good.
I never got to play with Spino Driver and Spino was Spino Commander? I can't remember.
The rewriting thing.
Tachi was the other good Excel deck, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Anger Blader.
Yeah, for the Hyuga meta, the second AL4. Yeah.
Yeah, that deck was not okay.
Because Nidorex was like decent ish, like it no.
Nope. People thought it was for a second. Anger Blader.
Oh okay. Oh, Anger Blader was that early? Fuck.
Yeah,
no.
It got banned.
I thought it was later.
No, it wasn't that late. I think we just forget about it because it got banned immediately.
Right.
I guess middle of the road for V.
Yeah.
I guess like right before the second season of the anime, so right before the where we got Uranus and why can't I think of his name?
It got banned in that January.
Yeah,
Uranus
it, like,
didn't
topped
to,
the
like,
tournament
what?
And then immediately got banned.
Yeah, it topped Japanese nationals, I think.
Yeah.
And then after that, Worlds. They errated Riviere, banned Anger Blader, restricted Cho-O, and restricted Shiryuki to one.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Vanquisher was also another one.
Yeah. Oh, I was trying to think of Valkyrion. That did come out before we were... Yeah. It was right before... Because Crystal Melody came out before the set with Isabel.
Mm-hmm. I know. So I'm looking at the set right now for Anger Blader. So that was the Raging Tactics, September 2019 in Japan, and October for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that came with Anger Blader, Dead Heat Bullspike, and then Gunning Coleo, which was like a big fat nothing burger.
Yeah, but that was before the Phantasmal Steed Liberation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was right after?
Okay.
Yeah. The regionals I went to, Anger Blader had just come out. I was trying to finish my deck, I think, at the regionals.
Yeah.
That is one of the like most stressful situations a card game player can be in, is the running to all the booths trying to get the last like few cards for whatever deck. They're like, deck registration will be collected in 15 minutes. Oh shit!
I regret this decision now, but when I was playing Nuba in that one tournament I mentioned, I was missing my Xeroth Dragon. Mm-hmm. So I went to a booth and paid like 150 CAD for it.
Oh.
And I didn't play it once.
Oh,
that's even worse.
Yeah.
But like, you have to do it just in case.
It's got to be, yeah, it's got to be in there, right? Like, you don't know, like, what if you're in the tournament and that was your winning play and you didn't have it? Like,
yeah.
You would slap yourself in the face so hard.
And this was for noobs, you said you were doing
it yeah, for? Yeah, this was Zanki. This was set 14. The last like, G set.
The Dragon Empire Xeroth Dragon is, like, okay. It's so, fine. Yeah.
It's like,
my was amazing the, like, with Jammy Okonkwo.
I think it's one of the better ones now.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, like, I think one deck wants Ultima. Like, Gold's definitely wants Ultima, but, like,
yeah.
Other than that, like, I guess the Magellanica one's good.
Yeah.
And
Zoa has pretty its, solid.
Zoa has its important uses.
Zoa's fallen the fuck off.
Like, really?
Yeah.
You can't meme people with it anymore? Dang, well, no.
So, because everybody's got a G-Guard that can, like, pull a PG or something from like ass.
Nowhere. Oh, yeah. Fair
so,
enough.
So it just quit being useful. Like, and especially for, like, I took talented rhinos out of great nature.
Mm. I was just going to ask you that, actually.
Oh, go ahead. I guess.
No, I was going to ask if you still kept talented rhinos and monoculus tiger in your premium great nature.
I have two monoculus in there, but I very rarely use it, and I don't know what to replace it with. I tried Label Pangolin for a while, but it was just deck out fuel, so...
Yeah.
I
haven't been able to sit down and test, but I'm thinking, like, kind of close to what I had for standard Big Belly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with, like, that's a few tech cards.
Circle Panther and Spool Mary and stuff has been quite fun.
Yeah. Like, I think I just threw in Crayon. I know you mentioned on a previous episode the Hamdan combo, which is still in there, too.
I ended up cutting that for Circle Panther.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do like the Hamadon combo. My problem was that once somebody figures you out, they quit giving you enough counterblast to do that. They're just going to go, okay, I'm just not going to give them two at a time.
So you just bring it like every like third week or something.
Brilliant. So I like that.
I'm running Hamdan this week. You'll never know.
Well, here's the thing about Circle Panther. So it can buff anything for a Soul Blast, and then it refunds itself at the end phase because it goes into Soul.
Yeah.
So it helps with Great Nature Soul problems. And then Spool Mary allows you, again, to be something that can buff herself for free and dies at the end. So you like you can have Compass Lion kill it because it's going to die anyway. So it's like a really it's a good turn two ride because it calls itself out when you ride over it, and then any other subsequent it's useful pretty much any time of the game, which is what I think Talented Rhinos was missing, where it was this awkward thing you have to keep around because you gotta use it for your win con, but it's a dead card up until like turn four.
Yeah, like he's a decent beater, but there are other decent beaters that do things in the early game.
So. I mean, it's always changing. It's the thing that I test with and tinker with the most. A, because I have the biggest card pool because I save most stuff, but B, because I've been around with it the longest. Like, Matt, I'm sure you have that with, like, Spike Brothers or...
Not anymore.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I had virtually every Murakumo card before the fire.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah. But, I mean, G Murakumo is nothing now, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, and it's...
I'm glad.
I'm definitely on board with Nui Daio needing to go. I just wish that we had have gotten something that could play... Like, I loved Hyuga. Like, it's probably my favorite Murakumo deck. I just wish we got something playable that wasn't busted to begin
with. Bushiroad really does need to make like either new strides or new like
G Guardians.
Yeah. Like
Berkhamo's G Guardians are unplayable.
They straight give up. You 15k and they call your units from board to guard with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's it. That's
they
all
give you. They give your back row intercept. Wait, you can, if you're GB one, you can counterblast one to get 10k.
Ooh. Oh boy!
That's, so
just reading plot maker really quickly. 1 second.
Right. <though.
laughs> I would love to just be the guy. Like they get a card designer Bushra. They're like, "What would you like to do? Something for every clan?" Like, no, we're gonna do a these clans need this stuff set. And then it's just like 80% Murakumo.
That would require them to know what Murakumo needs.
What's a
what
Murakumo?
Does it need?
I saw people saying that Tanba, like they should have left the Tanba loop. I'm like, okay, first of all, nobody should play that anyway. So it's no, good it's, they banned it.
Terribly inconsistent.
It's so bad. It has so many moving parts.
Tanba, you need them all in hand to go with.
Which one's Tanba again?
It's, Tanba's the go ahead.
It's a grade one. When you attack, put a normal unit back to the bottom of your deck. And he doesn't get the name.
Is it the guy with like the shuriken looking thing and he's holding it behind him?
Yes.
He's got like white hair. He's holding a purple shuriken.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's right.
7K.
That's right. Yeah, so okay. Basically, it's also a shadow stitch ability.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you know.
And it's whenever anything on board doesn't hit, so I think you can stack them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then you put a normal unit from your drop to the bottom of your deck, so you just kind of keep, you know, going through it. It's, but
you're basically, if it goes with, it's not dual weapon.
Dual weapon's a very good one.
Yeah.
Because it retires itself, so you can keep going through dual weapons.
Yeah, that's the loop. And there's another piece to it as well that I can't think of off the top of my head.
Because you have to go through because dual weapon can only get a grade one or three.
Right, so you need to use Metamorphox to clone the name. That's the one.
Yeah, and you just keep doing it, and it's not even good.
No, it dies too defensive, especially now.
So. Yeah, so people are like, they banned Tan, but I'm like, I don't care.
They're just trying to get loops out of the way. That's fine.
Yeah. It honestly saves some people some effort, honestly.
But the unfortunate thing is, like, those were the only two things Mara had, so now it needs something else.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to just play Yasui AV and...
Not meme. Stride?
Yeah, basically.
Maybe Stride the... I can't think of his name, but the last Yasui, the one that...
Goma?
No. Is
it the one
Goma
that calls itself?
It's Genma.
Yes. That's the one that gets the crit if something doesn't hit and then calls out stuff.
Right. Goma's the second one, or the third one.
Third? Yeah, or Goma was the one that where it's like flip and then call copies of itself.
Yeah. It calls any Yasui from
Tiffany. Okay.
Face up.
Which, yeah.
What if it just called any amount of Yasui? What if Goma could just call like you, but you can only call the open front row circles. So like, let's say you like get Excel circle, right? You go into Goma and they just call, like reveal three cards from your G zone.
Yeah,
that'd be sick, right?
And then you just have to G guard twice, and then you're a Jabate.
I don't even think this card's good if it does this.
No, it's not. I'm pretty sure your GB8 is garbage, and I'm pretty sure just straight up V Yasui is more threatening.
What is the GB8? Oh, it's the one where you call two duplicates of your Vanguard, and then after each attack doesn't hit, you can like rewrite it, but it has to be in the same position. So if you attack, you can't even attack with your rear guards first. You have to ride it from rear onto your Vanguard in the same position it was in. And you also have to pay some cost. I don't remember.
There was that stride that let you continuously, so long as you had the counterblast, you could keep calling a unit on board.
Tenma.
Yeah.
Tenma. That one I remember because I just have the eternal nightmarish audio clip of Chris saying Tenma, like faster and faster until my head explodes.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant the video where I don't remember who I beat with it. It might have been, I don't remember. I remember playing on one of the Nexus Core YouTube videos, playing Murakumo, and it was very funny.
Yeah. It might have been Richard or me or somebody. I don't
know. One thing I really learned to like playing So G Murakumo is very bad. I want to preface this. So don't pretend this deck is good. But I definitely liked running the stand trigger that went into soul to unflip a damage. That card became like really important, and I think the Shadow Stitch stand trigger, the Drenched Serpent, that like counter charge, soul charge, like get 4K somewhere, was like unplayably bad.
I didn't play her. I played the first stand trigger that came out that let you clone things because you needed that to run.
Oh, Hidden Scroll. Yeah, Hidden Scroll is very good. I think I played like two of it though. I didn't play.
What was the stride?
Homer Raider.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I didn't play very many of that because I was
like a two of right because it's like GB2 and you gotta flip itself.
Yeah. A lot of times that deck is Shibaraku Buster, try to deal damage from opponent, and just like get drive checks on rear, I guess. And then they printed the Royal Paladin Shibaraku Buster, which was infinitely cheaper for some reason.
Kind of like that was arguably quite a bit better.
Right?
That had other options that weren't Shibaraku Buster.
Everything's so unfair to Murakumo and G.
Or just in general. Like, when you start as
V Murakumo was busted every single time.
At least it was either busted or at least like very good.
I'm talking before, not after.
Oh,
when you start out as the bastard child of Nubatama, then it was so hard to like.
I actually don't think that the ride chain Murakumo back in like BT8 was that even that bad. I just think there's just too many other busted decks. Like, you had like Dota to compete with in MLB, right? Like, what are you doing here?
Why were you even playing the first half of Limit Break?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just don't.
Wasn't until Break Riots came out that Dota started to fall off the wagon, and still Dauntless Dota was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, that's what happens when.
And then Noel Dota was a thing.
Oh my god.
Don't remember.
That
Novell was certainly a time. I hated that time too because it was team tournaments. So like every team was Defender and had like Novell, Raging Form, Blau.
Yeah, that's about accurate.
It's just like, okay, this is very cool and good.
I'm glad I missed that because I think my first regionals was because I think they usually do like team in the spring and then singles in the fall. Yeah, so I managed to.
That's good.
Miss that. Yeah. I didn't think so.
And it's funny because Chaos Breaker just came out, but everyone like quickly realized it was like, why are you playing Chaos Breaker when you could just play, you know, Blau or something broken?
Yeah. I remember doing a regional where this is BT8. So Great Nature got Duckbill from that set. And this was, I brought Great Nature to a regional. It was a team regional, and we had two guys. One was playing Dote, one was playing Ezreal. And the Ezreal guy lost every single game.
Oof.
I went undefeated. And the Dote guy, he went X2. So whenever his losses lined up with the Ezreal guy. So we got eliminated like, I think it was right before Top Cut or something. But it was just like, if the Ezreal guy just didn't suck.
Yeah. Losing every round is impressive. Usually, at least in Vanguard, you can like at least like scrape to a win at some point.
Yeah, or something.
At some point, you just turn over two yellow cards, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Statistically, it has to happen.
Or in D series, just flip over the big shiny card.
Yeah. This is Ezreal we're talking about, and like BTO8, it was good at the time because you had Cure for whatever, right?
Did you have Platina back then?
No, Platina was BT9.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
I just was like such an unexpected thing. They're like, what the hell are animals? What are these things?
What was in BTO9 again? Is that the blood and like Amaterasu cross ride?
Mm-hmm. That was the Magatsu ride line.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, Magatsu ride line. You got
for some reason I thought that was an 8. I'm not really sure why. And I guess there was Musketeers in there, maybe.
Musketeers were 8.
Musketeers, right? Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, all these sets kind of blend together. At least at the end of, break ride, I guess.
Break ride, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
set 8 was also the introduction to Aqua Force.
Too. Yeah, with Maelstrom.
Yeah, I've got a silly memory when it comes to stuff like that, but I can't remember where I set my keys down for the life of me. But ask me what clans were in what Vanguard sets, I gotcha.
Oh, great.
I'm just kicking myself for that time I asked for a box of the newest Vanguard set for Christmas, and that happened to be Divine Dragon Caper.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oof.
Remember that shit? That was like the worst set in G.
Remember when the episode for that was like the most high drama episode ever? The Vanguard subreddit, I believe, just had an absolute meltdown over that particular episode.
Wait, because we
called the Narukami cards like pretty bad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I think it was Jose.
I think so.
Was like super upset about the Narukami cards because he plays a lot of Narukami.
Right. Yeah.
Was that the episode where we had like five people on?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was a giant nightmare. I could not keep track of what was going on.
It was.
But. But yeah, so that was set was. But yeah, the Vanguard subreddit had an absolute meltdown over that set.
Mm-hmm. And it was like new Spike Brothers stuff that was just not good. So it was where you got that stride that was like flip and then artificially charge things that are already on board. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. It's also where you got Luard.
Yeah, this was set 10, or G-set 10, wasn't it?
G-set 9.
Yeah.
Flying Dragon Caper. It was
the Luard first
driver?
Set?
Right. Yeah, 10 was Tachi and Mura.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God. Yeah, and also more Luard. That was also garbage. Until, I think Luard was pretty bad until set 12, I think, and then it got busted.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Trade,
and then it got really busted.
Mm-hmm. Set 12, 13, 14. Wackity schmacky stuff.
Yeah, that escalated quickly.
Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about to wrap
still
up here?
Still okay as stuff?
Yeah, I was going to, I guess now briefly, because we've been going for almost an hour, talk about some Magnolia stuff.
Have at it.
Yeah, I guess I was just going to talk a little bit about what I've been testing, which is I can't think of his name, the deer.
I just call it the deer. I know exactly what
that's
you're talking
fair.
About. Attacks from back row and can bounce after it attacks.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
I just realized like the other week that I'm like, oh, I can call it for Persona Ride on my Persona Ride turn, keep it in the front row, it's 23, and then just intercept with it. It's a 10k intercept.
Yeah.
And that's been. So I've been putting, and Pix has been putting in a lot of work. I haven't really gone up against too many retire heavy matchups. So, because I think it gives you resist if you have three or less rear guards, which is still good because it protects itself, the thing in front of it, and you can still keep something else on board.
Yeah. Now tell me, what do you think of Prize Trident in the Magnolia?
I've been enjoying it.
Good.
Yeah.
I like Prize Trident.
Especially like the first turn with Daimaru and Magnolia, it just refunds the cost of both of those cards.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to try using that in Premium too, because I think you can do stuff, because it's like on fifth battle, no matter where that is, it just goes into Soul and countercharges. So you can do something like Grey Nature where you flip Mana Garm Aurum. That's part of your buff thing. You do your, like, on the fifth battle, it gets out of the way, you get your counter charge, and then it can be soul blasted for a new thing of where it just was.
Yeah,
I like
that's
it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot better in set three, because I find set two is very. I want to say I liked set one better, but only because everything was, like, powered down. So, like, when you were running things like the Mantis and. Oh, I mean, you're probably still running Spiritual Body Condensation if you're running Zorgnolia, but just the stuff that in the early game, call it from drop, get like drop it for ride deck cost, call it back, 5k, get those three attacks in early that they can't really guard, and then you're set up for your grade 3 Magnolia turn. But now it's like, because I'm running the QC Urgula, which is still a nice 23k column, but you're either committing too many cards and then you just lose because you can't defend yourself, or you're not doing enough damage and you die to your defensive trigger.
Yeah. Definitely. I kind of quit doing the Kusi Urgula thing just with the introduction of the deer and stuff, because I like being more flexible.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And Urgula, not so much, but just the Kusi thing where it's just very clunky.
Yeah, and he doesn't have any shield on his own, so it's kind of like, not that 5k is a huge deal, but still.
Kusi, being the 15k guy that you can only call center, Urgula is the Rose Whip where he can move horizontally.
Yeah. But yeah, they make a nice 23k column.
Yeah, but...
yeah, it's not really...
I think games are made and lost by like the narrowest of margins, so even losing that 5k shield can mean something.
Yeah, I think, and I'm kind of combining my last two topics, which is fine because time-wise, but I think the things that Magnolia really needs, aside from like good skills, good resource management, like your units need to be hitting 23, especially if you're making six attacks, because if you're under that, then, oh, defensive trigger, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So like the stuff that is like, it's why I'm currently running Lattice, and Lattice will be going out for... I just call him Pineapple Cat. Does he essentially fulfills the same role?
Yeah.
Deer is great, but it's only hitting 18.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's half of the time I find I'm like, oh, they have a defensive trigger. I'll still attack with them from the back row because I want them back in a hand, but it's like, mm-hmm. or I'll attack with them so that I get my prize trident, but it's like...
I do like... if they haven't taken the damage trigger yet, where they'll have to guard with either two cards or lose a 15k shield on the 18. Like it's like getting a battle door skill where it's like right on the line. Feels good.
Yeah, making them drop a trigger or taking the damage.
Mm-hmm. Rootbeer, this is how I feel during the Lyrical Monasterio set, is what you're experiencing right now. I'm sorry.
My apologies.
No, don't mind me.
I'm it now.
I could have sent any one of my friends from Locals to talk Lyrical. Because I think I'm the only person at Locals who doesn't have a Lyrical deck.
Atlas, I am constantly doing other things while we're podcasting. Don't worry about it.
But just, it's funny. Because, I don't know, it feels good. And you're wearing that Stoikea shirt from, not Vision, it's...
Next Level Games.
Next Level Games, thank you.
I may have also bought decal stickers for my laptop and the keychain. Maybe. I may have treated myself. We're still in the pandemic, you know, you gotta treat yourself sometimes.
True.
I have a Pale Moon sticker on my car and a Great Nature sticker on the back of my laptop.
Nice. So,
I do not have any Vanguard stickers.
That's completely neither understandable. Do
I. I don't own very many things, so
I still have that OTT t-shirt from the one regional I went to.
Oh man, I have that Pale Moon one, but it's getting tighter on me because I got fatter during the pandemic. So
mood,
yeah.
See, I stopped drinking soda and got less fat.
Wow.
Yeah, I switched to bubbly to mix my alcoholic drinks. Once you get past the taste, it's. It's actually a dietitian that recommended that one to me. It's like, oh, don't mix your drinks with soda. Mix them with bubbly.
I quit caffeine or just, like, cut down on it. And I miss Dr. Pepper, but I'm on, ironically, root beer. So,
Root beer can be really good if you're not buying, like, the random store.
Yeah.
Like bark stuff.
Yeah, IBC or whatever, like, or it's just kind of like the old timey soda fountain, root beer, like just it's better for sure. But it's still bad for me, and I should stop.
Yeah, everything's bad for me. I just don't care at this point.
It's a bit of a tangent, but when my boyfriend comes up to see me in Canada because he's in Illinois, like he drinks a lot of different sodas, so he'll be like trying to find certain sodas in the store, no. And like we have. No variety in Mountain Dew, and apparently that's like a huge thing in the States.
Yeah,
we have like 18 different Mountain Dews.
Code Red, Baja Blast, to Taco Bell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff.
And like I think we have like multiple flavors of Barks. Like we have like a cherry spicy barks or something like that. He didn't end up trying it, neither did I. But it was just like, I hadn't even noticed. But it's just like, oh, they don't even have Barks Cream Soda. It's just this random cherry thing.
I've seen Barks Cream Soda.
Cherry root beer is basically Dr. Pepper, right?
Oh, man, I guess it would be. But without the caffeine, so it's... Like, I know if I was at a soda fountain and I'm like, oh, man, they don't have Dr. Pepper. I do, like, half Coke, half root beer, which is, like, 40% of the way there. It's not quite the same.
I think I had a bad experience with Dr. Pepper when I was a kid, and I've never tried it again.
Oh, okay.
And I think I accidentally...
I used to not like Dr. Pepper as a kid, and then at some point I became okay with it.
I think I, like, randomly went to a fast food place and poured a soda, and I think it was Dr. Pepper, because I'm like, oh, this is really garbage. And I must have, like, hit the wrong thing, or maybe they had the pumps hooked up the wrong way. Because, like, it didn't, it was a, I was going for a Coke, and it wasn't a Coke. It did not taste like Coke.
Nothing is as shocking as when you're expecting one flavor and get something completely different.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you, Jeremy, for coming on Nexus at Night.
Thank you for having me again.
Thank you
again for having me.
Grammar! Where can people find you and follow you and all that good stuff?
I don't actually have much of an online presence that is Vanguard related, so I will abstain.
Okay, yeah, that's fair cool. Enough. That's definitely a thing. You can find the show, and now I figured this out. You can find the show at Nexus at Night, Twitter, Instagram, or if you want to support it, patreon.com/NexusAtNight. $5 a month, price for a cup of coffee. Whole ass bonus show with us and friends.
I've been going back through them. They're pretty good.
Yeah, and then
talking about random stuff.
This last week, I showed my butt to people, so enjoy that. And then,
you're all about it.
How about the rest of us?
You can find me on Twitter at Wiggums, 2 G's, 2 Z's.
You can find me at Plasma Eclipse.
And then you can find me at Atlas Novak on Twitter, Instagram, or you can find my other podcast at Generation Dan on Twitter. It's about Gen X, Gen Y, and Gen Z arguing about X, Y, or Z topic. New episodes every Thursday. So thanks everybody for listening. And until next time, I was Atlas.
I'm still Matt.
I'm Root Beer.
I'm Jeremy.
And have a good night, everybody.